12 o'clock hour, Chase Willie and D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason hanging out with you on a Monday. Nick Kieser behind the glass. As week zero is in the books, now it gets real with week one of college football. We say hello to Ryan McGee of ESPN and the SEC Network. Ryan, how you doing?
I'm good. Is Vandy back? They were supposed to come back. Like I know they're physically back. I mean, like, are they, like, trying to go to class today? Because I feel like only at Vanderbilt would they even attempt that.
You know, that's a good point. I don't know. Willie is our Vanderbilt correspondent.
So are they back in class, Willie, today?
They are physically back in the States. But mentally, in class, they might be floating a little bit for the classroom. I'd feel pretty good about being in class walking around after 63-10.
They were in the state. They were in the States, even in Hawaii.
The mainland. The lower 48.
The lower 48. Yeah, okay.
The lower 48.
We had coach on Marty McGee the Saturday before they left, and he went through their itinerary, and it all made a lot of sense except for the whole as soon as the game's over, we're flying home thing. I was like, I'll take a nap, but that's all right. That's he used to coach at UCLA. I said, you should call UCLA and tell them to just get used to this, because when they're making their conference trip to Piscataway in a couple of years, they'll need to know how to handle these flights.
Tennessee's going to open their schedule against Ball State on Thursday, and the big news over the weekend is Brew McCoy, the transfer wide receiver, is going to be eligible to play. Josh Heupel talked today saying that he's going to be very dominant for the Volunteers, but you add him with Cedric Tillman. How significant is that in that offense?
It's big. I mean, it's just another weapon. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, when you have the quarterback that you have, and if you manage to keep him upright more than he's on the ground, you just give him more weapons. Yeah, it's just, it can't be anything but good. So no, it's really big news. And it's funny. And you guys know I went to UT, married a girl from Farragut. I mean, just saw my old roommates a couple weekends ago, and I think that landing in the first spot right out of the top 25 is perfect. Any higher than that, the already out of control expectations are probably too high. Any lower than that, you know, I think you're justified to be feel dissed. But sitting right there with a chance to move in early is I think that's a good spot to be in. And the more weapons you give Mr. Hooker, I think the better off you are.
Now, Ryan, I could be drinking the Kool-Aid. There might be something in the Kool-Aid. I don't know, but it's orange, and I'm looking at this team, and I think they're a 9-win football team. Now, with all that said, they got to go into Pittsburgh, and they got to beat Pittsburgh. They got to beat Florida. They got to go to Baton Rouge, take care of LSU, yep, which I don't think is going to be easy by any means. I would like to see them be competitive against Alabama and Georgia. They got to take care of Kentucky. There's a lot of what ifs that can happen over the course of a long season, but I do have belief in Josh Heupel that he's getting that. You asked if Vanderbilt's back, then I know you meant physically here, but I think Josh Heupel has a great opportunity to show the SEC that Tennessee is back.
Yeah, I agree with that, and it's I compare this team. I've done this a lot. I compare this team to Ole Miss 2 years ago. You know, Ole Miss a couple years ago, they went, like, I think they were right at 500, but they had a chance to win a lot of games. And at the very least, they were entertaining. And so on Monday, when you're talking about college football with your buddies, you know, you were talking about Ole Miss as if they'd won the game, like in a positive way. That's what Tennessee was last year. You know, that team overachieved, but it was also super entertaining. And they hovered around 500 a lot. But the reality was that, you know, it was all positive talk, with the exception of one goofy night with Ole Miss, and that had nothing to do with the team. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think that there's the family. You mentioned Kentucky, and I'm talking about all my in-laws, mm-hmm, and all that stuff. I drive them all crazy when I say this, but I think I've said it to you guys before. The goal for Tennessee right now, and it's for someone of my age, it's incredible to say these words out loud, but the goal for Tennessee right now is not to be Alabama or Georgia. You need to be Kentucky first. You need to get to the point where you expect to win at least 9 games. Like going into the year, 9 games written in Sharpie, 9 wins, and then figure out how to get to 10 wins and figure out how to get back to New Year's Day on a regular basis. Once you establish that, once you've done what Stoops has done in Lexington, now you can prepare yourself to try to move up to that next echelon. And so it's they're getting there. It the momentum feels real. And I completely jinxed everyone in Knoxville just by saying that out loud right now. I realize that. But the momentum feels, I'm with you. I think it doesn't feel thin. It feels legit.
Now, with that being said, obviously they have their, returning, their leading receiver back, obviously Hooker's back, leading rusher's back. Hooker ended up being the second leading rusher for this team last season. So it's safe to say that the offense, we should see the offense take off a little bit faster than what the defense can possibly do. Is that a safe assessment?
Yeah, and my biggest concern when you're talking about, Josh Heupel, and when you're talking about that style of offense, my biggest concern is always when you get into the second half, man, your defense has been on the field a lot. And the good news is that means you've been moving up down the field and hopefully scoring points. But that's my biggest concern. And if you go back and look at, when UCF was rolling and Heupel was the guy behind that offense, their defense was gassed. And the knock on Heupel has always been that the defensive numbers are as huge as the offensive numbers. And that's bad. And so you want to stay out of track meets the best you can. So that's my concern is just depth on defense, because you're going to have to figure out a way to rotate guys in and out of there. Otherwise, they'll all be grabbing knees in the third quarter, and that's not a good sign. So that's, to me, I never had any concern with Josh Heupel knowing how to move football. That's never been, from the time he played, he's moved the football. But the concern is making sure you're giving the defense a chance because – the good news is you're scoring in a minute and a half. The bad news is defense got to get back out there for another six.
Now, Ryan, with that being said, how close are they? Because everyone's looking at it from the standpoint of, listen, Georgia, this is Georgia's East to win. And many, some are picking Georgia to win the SEC in general. But how close is Tennessee to, because you just mentioned Kentucky. And it seemed like those two teams are sort of battling for that second spot in the East. But how close are they to Kentucky?
They're close. I think the difference is depth. I think your first 22 is just as good. I don't. I'm a big fan of the kid that's going to be behind center at Kentucky. But I'm just as big a fan of the kid behind the center at Tennessee. So I think you give me the first 22, then it's pretty even. I think the difference is depth. And again, somebody was born in the 70s. When I'm sitting here talking about, Kentucky depth and all this other stuff, I say, it's just like talking about Alabama being wide receiver U. My brain cannot process it. But the reality is they're close. They're getting there. But again, the goal is pull up even with Kentucky first and compete for that second spot in the East and then give yourself a chance a little bit further down the road to beat Georgia. And maybe in the meantime, you sneak up on them one day.
Talking to Ryan McGee from ESPN, going around the horn with some SEC football. Let me rotate back to Vanderbilt for one question here, Ryan. Outside of the football program, I don't know if you saw this yet, but they have announced a naming rights partnership with First Bank. They're actually having a press conference right now. And it appears, and we'll see how this ends up playing out, but I can see Clark Lee's wheels turning, where they're trying to get a partnership that goes beyond you give us the check, we put your name on the stadium. They're talking about internships and other ways that they can sort of get to a next level, a modern level of what a football player, what an athlete in the SEC is hoping for with NIL and all these other things.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what these sponsorships are now. And what Vanderbilt has kind of figured out that I think a lot of schools are struggling with is a lot of schools feel like they're losing sponsorship opportunities right now because that money is going into these collectives for NIL. And so, if you figure out a way to do both and you figure out a way to get someone, because it's no secret, Vandy can use some facilities upgrades when it comes to football. If you can find somebody that's going to put their name on the building and help you get some construction cranes going, but then also figure out a way to help your guys, land jobs or help your guys, pick up a little endorsement money, great. And I'm a Clark Lee fan. I mean, you guys talk to him all the time. Marty and I were completely blown away. And we're 2 years in a row, our conversations with him But what he talks about first and foremost, and it's and unlike a lot of coaches, this is genuine, is what he said to us, he said, if you leave Vanderbilt as a football player or just as a student, and I have not done you the service of preparing you for something other than football, then, you know, I failed you. And this is part of that to me. And that's why I believe that it's really genuine, which is you're talking about internships and you're talking about, you'd love to think all those guys are going to play in the NFL. They're not. So, probably got a lot of bankers on that team. And so this sounds like a great opportunity for them.
Yeah, we'll see where that goes. Ryan, you've got Oregon and Georgia, a featured game coming up this weekend on ABC. Oregon's number 11, Georgia's number 3, and Georgia is favored by 17. I guess that's not that surprising. But how good is Oregon?
They're really good. And, oh, by the way, that historic defense that we were all bragging about, last year, Dan Lanning, defensive coordinator, the guy that ran that defense, he's the head coach in Oregon now. And the Oregon linebackers are studs. Noah Sewell is a stud, and he's not the only one. So they are really good in the middle of the field. They're not going to give a whole lot up there. If you're Georgia, then what you plan on doing is just, beat them to death and wear them down into the fourth quarter, as we've seen teams, Ohio State, we've seen bigger, stronger teams do to Oregon over the years. But they're really good. I mean, they got skill players all over the place, but particularly the extra layer to this game is the fact that Lanning is the coach. And there's nothing that Georgia defense is going to be able to throw at Oregon they're not going to see coming. Now, I'm not saying that Oregon's got the guy that can make the play every time, but I am saying that they're going to know exactly where that defense is going to be and when they're going to be there. So it has the potential to really be something else, but we will see. And honestly, the Pac-12 season, I'll say this about the Pac-12. You go back and look at their schedule in September over the last 10 years when we've all kind of run them down as a weak conference or whatever. It's not because they don't schedule. And we see Oregon do it. We see Utah's going to Florida. I mean, if they take care of business in the first few weeks of September, they'll be in the playoff conversation because conference will look that great. But I've also actually said that very sentence right there most of the last 10 years leading into the season, and they've usually tripped all over themselves by the time we'll hit week 3.
All right, final thing for you, Ryan. Utah, top 10 team, goes into the Swamp to face Florida. Very intriguing game there.
Yeah, and it's the Pac-12 season. It really is. Everyone agrees that Utah is really good. And I'm a Kyle Whittingham guy. I always say if we had a head coach's bunkhouse stampede, right, like a battle royal wrestling,
okay,
you give me Kyle Whittingham and I'll give you the rest of the field. That dude is a stud. But the reality is they're really good. And, if they were to go into Florida and beat Florida, even though we all know Florida's in transition, although I remind people all the time, number one, Billy Napier can coach. And number two, he's a Saban guy. Well, we know all that stuff. And number three, this roster that has lost some guys, this team almost beat Alabama early last season. Everyone forgets that. And, Dan Mullen kind of checked out on them, and it all turned into a soap opera by the time we got to the middle of the year. But it's not like Florida doesn't have guys. So if Utah were to go in there and win, it is no overstatement to say that Utah winning at Florida would set the Pac-12 up potentially all the way through December, because it would give them, something to stand on in that room with the committee members.
Yeah, that's an important game. And then Florida comes back with Kentucky the following week. So very intriguing start for the Gators here. Ryan, as always, thanks for the perspective. Really exciting to have a week of games to look forward to. And, of course, it's always nice when Vanderbilt's 1-0 on the season.
Yeah. Week one. And all you Vandy guys, I'm sure you walk around listening to us right now. Go take a nap.
Hey, Ryan, let's go race in the rain at Daytona. That seems like a good idea.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. It sounds like a great idea for everyone, especially if you're Austin Dillon.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Thanks, bud. Good to talk to you.